It's time for Ask Dr. Daria on RadioMD.com. Do you have a question? Tweet your questions to @ShareCareNow using #ShareCareRadio or email your questions to AskDrDaria@RadioMD.com. Here's Dr. Daria.
Welcome back. We have our weekly Ask an Expert segment. For that, I've invited Russ Paulson, Executive Director of Community Preparedness and Resilience Services for the American Red Cross. With the Red Cross, Russ led disaster response and recovery in Hurricane Katrina and September 11th. And one of the American Red Cross initiatives is fire and safety prevention, which is why I have brought him on today. Russ, thank you so much for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Let's talk about prevention, what everyone can do right now to make themselves safe. What type of items should I keep in my home first aid kit in case to protect me from a fire?
So it's a good question. You know, most fires are actually pretty small. So, you know, a basic burn treatment that you would think about. But the thing I want people to really realize is if it's any kind of a scale at all, don't go try to find your first aid kit. The thing you need to do to keep yourself safe in a home fire after you've installed smoke alarms is to make sure that when the fire breaks out, you get out and stay out.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good, that's a good point, that there are small fires, but really just get out. Don't worry about the first aid kit. You can always get one elsewhere and get yourself to safety. You know, speaking of getting out, how do you prepare your kids? And at what age can you start teaching them about fires?
Well, if you think about your kids, already in kindergarten, if not in preschool, they are doing fire drills at school. And it's a funny thing, but most of us don't think to do fire drills at home. Mm-hmm. So our recommendation is that if kids are old enough to do it at school, they're old enough to do it at home. They spend more time at home than they do at school. And frankly, and I don't want to scare anybody, but more people die in home fires by far every year than die in fires at school. So parents should be doing and you can make it a little bit fun, but do a fire drill at home. Push the button on your smoke alarm. That does two things. It makes you know that it's still working, mm-hmm. and also lets kids know what that sounds like. And when you push the button, they need to know to test the door if they're in the bedroom, see if it's too hot. If it's not, and it won't be, they should then get out and stay out. That's the message that you want to give your kids. But do that smoke alarm test and drill at your home once or twice a year. Do it at different times a day. Do it when they're expecting it. Sometimes you can do it when they're not expecting it. The thing you want to have them do, though, also, and you can make this fun, maybe make one of the older kids the timekeeper. People think they have a long time to get out. They may have as few as 2 minutes to get out of their homes, so have somebody time it. And if you can't get everybody in the family out in 2 minutes, do it again.
Mm-hmm. As little as 2 minutes, and 2 minutes, that goes by very, very quickly.
It goes by so fast, and if you're sleeping, it's mm-hmm. 2 minutes whether you're wide awake or whether you're having to rouse yourself from sleep. So that's why we really encourage people to practice.
So help me create a family plan. You know, what should be my evacuation plan? You said if they can go through the door, great, but what if you can't go through the door?
So we encourage everybody to find a way to have two ways out of every room. At my house, our bedrooms are on the second floor, but we've got a little like trellis type thing that shades the first floor. And my kids know that if there's a disaster, if there's a fire and they can't get out through their bedroom door, they literally crawl out the window and they can hang drop off of that trellis, and they might get a little bit hurt. But they might just get a little bit hurt. There's nobody that's going to die from a 4 foot drop. Mm-hmm. If that's not possible for you, you really ought to find a way to have escape ladders or something else. If you're in a high rise, it's a much more difficult situation. If you're in a high rise, the answer is much more complicated. But for most of us who don't live in high rises, find a way to have two exits out of every room. And when the smoke detector goes off, check the door. If it's too hot, use the alternative exit.
You know, you make a really good point. As you're doing that, my room's on the second floor, and I'm thinking that I don't have a way to get out the window. So I need to go buy, I guess, an escape ladder.
You should. But also realize that if the fire is bad enough, if you hang drop out of a second-story window, you might break a leg, but that's a lot less damage than you'll cause if you try to stay in a smoke-filled home. People
that's
get
really good.
Quickly by smoke.
That's really a good point. We can fix broken legs nowadays. We have lots of technology for that.
That's right.
Of the house. Get out and stay out. So in addition to a ladder, what other devices should I have in my home for protecting me from fire?
Yeah, the main thing I think is really the smoke alarms. I mentioned that a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Smoke alarms today, you can buy a smoke alarm that will last for 10 years. The battery is sealed in there, so you don't have to change the batteries every 6 months. You don't have to worry about that. They're not that expensive. You should put one on every level of your house. Make sure there's one outside of every sleeping room. And if you really want to be safe, you should put one in every sleeping room as well. A lot of fires break out. fires that kill people actually happen at night because people don't wake up. You want to make sure you've got something that's going to wake you in the middle of the night. So the best way to do that is put it outside the sleeping room and every sleeping room.
Okay. And how often do I need to check them?
Well, the manufacturers recommend that you check them every month. I have to be honest, I don't do it every month. But when I do my home fire escape plan with my kids, when I do my, my home fire drill with my kids, that's when I check them. Every 6 months, I'm checking them at a minimum. Again, the manufacturers recommend every month, but I have to be honest, I don't do that myself.
And you probably need to call your alarm company before you do that drill to let them know so they don't send the fire trucks.
That if they're connected to the central office of some sort, then you do need to,
Okay. Now, also, I really like to talk about an evacuation plan. It's important to have a destination, right? Especially if you have kids.
That's right. You don't want to, when you've woken from your sleep and you're not sure whether your kids are out, you don't want to have to go around looking for them. So everybody should agree that it's, the neighbor's front porch or the tree outside or three doors down if you're living in a densely populated area, whatever it is, you should be able to know whether your kids are out okay. And that's why you need to have that place.
Okay, so have a destination. Really good to know. Now, what about getting out of the house to that destination? Do you still tell people to stop, drop, and roll? And how do you avoid smoke inhalation if there's a lot in the house?
Yeah, so that's a great question. The houses can fill up with smoke so fast. I've seen this now in tests, and it's amazing how quickly our houses can burn, and the smoke is what's going to hurt you first before the fire ever gets to you. So stop, drop, and roll is really, it's a great memory thing, but it's really only if your clothes are on fire. What you want to remember in a house fire is another one: get low and go. So you get low because smoke rises. We've all seen this, right? We see steam rise, we see smoke rise. If you get close to the floor, you have a lot more time to get out of the house without breathing the smoke. So many people are overcome by smoke in a home fire, and if they get under the smoke, they've got some extra time to get out. So we tell people, get low and go, and get out and stay out.
Okay, I love it, and start teaching them as early as preschool. Okay, those are good things that even a little kid can remember, or anyone who's woken up in the middle of the night. How should a person know if they need to go to a hospital, or if somebody else is injured, and how do they, what if they can't drive there? Do they call 911? Obviously, they may not have their cell phones.
Yeah, so that's where it's, if there's enough of a house fire that you're going to be injured in a fire, chances are the neighbors are awake, and if they're not, they should be. Mm-hmm. So go to a neighbor, use their phone, wake them up. They'll want to know what's going on anyhow. I would say in general, and I'm sure, Dr. Dyer, you make this recommendation to people in general, is that if you're not sure whether you need to go to the hospital, when in doubt, check it out.
That is always a very good rule. Okay, now lastly, what are some phone numbers I should keep at home in the event of an emergency, whether it's a fire or anything else?
There's two things. One is that make sure your kids know how to dial 911, and that they also know another phone number, someone out of the area. This is not necessarily the most important thing in a home fire, but any other disaster, the phones may go down locally, but oftentimes you're able to call outside of your area. So for me, my kids know if there's another disaster, they call their grandmother in Los Angeles. I live in the D.C. area. They call their grandmother in Los Angeles, and that's our point of contact. They all know that phone number. She's the person we will all call no matter where we are to say, hey, we're okay.
Okay, great. So having that other person really gives you that additional bit of information. And in the last 20 seconds, how do people find more information from you?
You can find more information by going to redcross.org on the internet. www.redcross.org will get you all you need. But the most important thing, get smoke alarms, put them in, do a fire drill at home.
And start early with your kids. I know I'm going to do that now. Now that you've taught me, I'm going to do it as soon as my daughter's old enough. Thank you so much. Again, you can find more information on Twitter at the Red Cross handle or at facebook.com/Red Cross. That's all we have time for this week. You can reach us again over the week at ShareCare Inc. on Twitter using the hashtag ShareCare Radio. And you can find me also at Twitter at Dr. Daria. This is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to ShareCare Radio on Radio MD, where we help you be your healthiest you. Thanks for listening, and stay well.